You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who has come in order that we might have a place to hide. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when I was a little kid, there was a room on the second floor of the house that I grew up in that was my little hiding spot. It was kind of a guest room, kind of a storage room. You maybe know that. You maybe even have that room in your house where it's supposed to be a guest room, but what it actually is just a depository for a whole bunch of junk. Which makes for a great place for a little kid to hide. I would go up there and I would hide, even though the air conditioning was not real good in that spot, I would still be able to go up there, and that was kind of my spot. It was my place to hide away when I just wanted to hide away. Sometimes that was completely innocent. Sometimes I just wanted to be away from everybody. Sometimes it was because, well, I had done something wrong and I didn't want to be found out. Sometimes that was because I was just kind of angry or upset and I wanted to go off and be by myself. Well, all of that kind of sense of hiding maybe brings up your hiding spot when you were a little kid. Maybe it brings up this sense of the place that you went when you were smaller. And maybe it even brings up a place that you go now in order to escape from the world. Maybe that's your car when you're driving home from work or school. Maybe that's a certain house, a certain place in your house or in your apartment. Maybe that is just as simple as your phone. Maybe you pick up that phone and put it in front of you so that nobody bothers you. Maybe you have a big set of obnoxious earmuffs that you put on in order to signal to the world that you are not interested in what they have to offer and that you are kind of hiding away. Whatever that is, there's all of those kind of times that we hide away. And as we look into the lectionary readings today, we see somebody who's hiding away. We see that Elijah is, well, he's hiding away from this person named Jezebel. Now, we don't have a lot of context here, and so maybe filling in some of the context helps us to understand the story a little bit better. So what has happened is it's one of those kind of well-known Sunday school stories, kind of, but if you don't know it, you don't know it. And this well-known Sunday school story is that Elijah gets into this sort of, well, pray off or sacrifice off with the prophets of Baal. Now, Baal is a god of the enemies of the people of Israel, and the people of Israel have actually started co-opting this god. They've started to pray to him. He looks like a bull, and so Elijah is a prophet of the one true God, Yahweh, and he challenges the prophets of Baal to a fight. It's kind of this moment where he says, well, one of us is going to show at the end of the day that we have the real God, or at the very least, the most powerful God. And so he sets this thing up and he says, well, what we're going to do is we are going to get two altars. We're going to get two bulls. We're going to put both of those things out there. And we're going to see which God can light the bull on fire. And the prophets of Baal show up en masse. They show up with 450 prophets of Baal. Listen to that number because that'll come in later. So 450 prophets of Baal versus uno Elijah. And so they start praying. They start praying to their God in order to get him to rain down fire or somehow spontaneously combust the bull. And they're failing. They're failing so bad that they're continuing to dance around the altar. They're continuing to do everything that they can. They are even, for some reason, cutting themselves in order to get their god to light this thing on fire. And it fails. They can't do it. Nothing's happening. They're all like woozy because of blood loss, and this isn't working. Meanwhile, Elijah is making fun of them. He is saying stuff like, "Hey, where's your god? Where is he off someplace to eat?" He even kind of says, you know, "Is he maybe in the bathroom? Do you want to maybe not bother him right now?" You know, whatever that is, Elijah is kind of like making fun. And then after that, Elijah gets his turn. And Elijah gets his turn. He says, "Well, we're going to make this even more difficult. I want you to put some more water on my bull. I want you to put water all around the altar so that, it's unlikely that this thing is going to light on fire." And sure enough, kaboom, it lights on fire. Now, the thing that we don't get is that there's a little bit of a maybe unspoken wager in the midst of that. And the unspoken wager in the midst of that is that when the bull lights up, Elijah looks at the people that are surrounding the prophets of Baal and he says, "Get them, boys!" And the people that are there watching, they grab these 450 prophets of Baal, at least the ones that stick around and don't get away. And he says, "Bring them on down to the brook." And they bring them to the brook. And then we find out that what does the prophet of Yahweh do? He's not this loving, kind, forgiving guy, but he puts them all to death. So, you know, even if you imagine that there's maybe 50 of them that get away, there's still 400 prophets of Baal who have already lost some blood, but are losing a lot more blood into this brook. And it's a pretty gruesome scene. And so then we jump into where we start today. And where we start today is that Ahab is opening up the newspaper. And he's, he's checking out the newspaper. He's checking out what has happened in the world. And he's like, look at what Elijah did. Elijah, well, he killed all of the prophets of Baal. Now, the reason that that is kind of telling, I suppose, is that Jezebel is really the person in the relationship who is all about the god Baal. She's the super religious one in their relationship. Ahab seems like he's kind of like, the guy who goes along to stuff when he has to, but he doesn't seem like his heart's in it. Jezebel is all about Baal. And Jezebel hears that all of her prophets basically have been killed, and she composes an angry email. She sends this message to Elijah. She says, "Hey, look, within the next day is either you or me. One of us, I'm either going to have the gods kill me, or I'm going to kill you." And Elijah, after this great kind of magnificent moment of seeing God's power at work, goes, "Ah!" And he starts to run. He runs all the way to Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is about a 5-day journey for Elijah. So he travels about a week into a different country because Israel and Judah are separated right now. So he's in a different jurisdiction. It's like he goes to Mexico. And he's there, and he doesn't feel like that's quite far enough. And he leaves his servant there, and he goes on another day into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, he does this thing where he goes underneath the broom tree, which is this big kind of 20-meter tall tree, and he lays under it, and he says to God, I just want this to end. I just want you to take me. I don't want to wake up from this nap. I am done. I'm not as strong as my fathers were. I can't do this anymore." And Elijah is hiding out. He's hiding out because he's in this moment where things are a little too much for him. Maybe you've had a moment like that. Maybe you've had a moment where things seem like they're a little bit too much for you. Maybe you're laying there awake at 3 in the morning and you're going, God, I just want to go to sleep. And if I went to sleep and I didn't wake up, maybe that would be okay. Because this is just so stressful. This is so big. I don't want to continue on. Maybe you hide away in that statement. Maybe you hide away in other things. Maybe you hide away in your behavior and the way that you treat other people. Maybe you hide away in the sort of sins that you revisit because they're sort of sins of comfort for you. Maybe you hide out in other ways. Maybe you just escape. Maybe you try to get away from everybody and everything to the detriment of the people around you. Whatever it is, we all know kind of what it's like to be in that spot with Elijah. We know what it's like to be underneath the broom tree. And the interesting thing is that sometimes we can be under the broom tree because of, well, some very godly things. So we're going to fast forward now, and we're going to go to that Ephesians reading. This Ephesians reading where all of a sudden this seems sort of uncharacteristic for Paul. Paul, for the last few Sundays as we've been walking through this letter to the Ephesians, Paul has been sort of rejoicing over the fact that the Ephesians are this great Christian church that is not just Jews, not just Gentiles, but they're both Jews and Gentiles, and they're coming together and they're living in harmony, and this is fantastic. And yet here, as we open up the letter to Ephesians in our reading for today, Paul says this thing that seems kind of, well, rude. He says, well, don't live like the Gentiles. And you get that kind of sense of like, what, Paul, what are you saying? You just got done saying that this was such a good thing, and now all of a sudden you're calling the Gentiles names, and you're saying that they're confused in their minds, and all of this stuff, like, yeah, what are you doing? And what Paul is doing here is he's saying not that the Gentiles in the church are bad, but rather that the Gentile culture around them has begun to influence them in a bad way. The Gentile culture around them has become to influence them in a way that makes them to do bad things themselves. And then he goes through this kind of list. This list of things that they should start doing and things that they should stop doing. This list of stuff that hits us many thousands of years later. And it still kind of stings when we hear it. Because we see this list. And this list is the law. And because it's the law, we go, oh, yeah, that's me in some of those spots. You know, maybe you're not the person who's worrying about, well, you're stealing all of the time, so you need to find a job. Maybe you are, I don't know. But there's other things in here that seem to hit us. Should be speaking the truth in love. You should be handling how you are angry and be angry and do not sin. There's plenty in here that makes us kind of recoil a little bit and go, oh boy, God, I'm not sure about that. And when we do, we have this, well, this kind of strange proclivity where we try to go and hide. And we try to go and hide from God. We try to say, God knows me. He knows that I'm a sinner. He knows everything about me. And so when he had Paul write this stuff, well, he was just having Paul write that stuff for, well, I guess other people. Because they can maybe do that, but he knows that I can't. And so we try to hide away from God. We get underneath our own broom tree. We say, I don't know that I have enough energy for the journey here, Lord. And we try to escape from the things that he's calling us to do and to be. We can do that kind of escaping. And that kind of escaping is pretty natural for us. Because that's what happens in humanity when we're confronted with the law, all the way from Adam and Eve up to today. When God's law comes to us, we go, oh man, I need to run away. I need to hide. I need to somehow believe that this is not about me. This is about somebody else, or maybe it's about nobody. I don't know what it is, but I just don't want it to be about me. And God comes into our world like that angel did. And he says, no, this is about you. You know, can you imagine how freaked out Elijah must be when he wakes up to pancakes cooking on hot rocks? You know, Elijah has traveled 6 days now in order to make sure that he's away from everybody, right? Like, he is like, I am, you know, he's wearing those Groucho Marx glasses. He's trying to make sure that nobody knows where he's at. He's in the wilderness. Nobody knows that I'm here. And then he wakes up and he's like, oh, what's that delicious smell? I've been running away for so long. I'm so hungry. And there's bread. There's bread! And then all of a sudden, there's an angel who says, hey, you're not hiding away that well. God still knows where you're at. He sent me to make you breakfast. Eat this. And that's maybe what he's doing to you today. If you're hiding away from God, if you're hiding away from the things that he's calling you to do, or maybe you're hiding away from something else, maybe you're hiding away from a legitimate threat, maybe there's something medical going on in your life, maybe there's something relational going on in your life, maybe there's just something that you're running away from. God is here, and he, on this altar, is providing you with bread. And not only just bread, but bread that is the bread of life. Bread that is the very bread that Jesus was talking about in John 6, where he says that I am going to give you life through the bread of life. And the bread of life is my flesh. And so you're like Elijah today. You're waking up in this spot. Maybe metaphorically, maybe literally. Maybe you just kind of dozed off in the sermon there. And as you wake up, what you see here is that God is giving you the bread of life that you need in order to continue on in the journey. So when you come up here at communion time, take that bread and know that it is powerful. Know that it is life. And know that it is given to you so that you may hide in him and go where he tells you to go. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.